It's from 1 Peter chapter 1. I proclaim to you, brethren, by the grace of God, by his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope. Born anew. Living hope. I had a birthday this week, and a lot of people in various ways, text messages and cards, said, happy birthday. And I don't know why my mind works the way it does, but there's a small part of me that wanted to say, don't you actually mean, may you have a joyous time on this, the X-numbered anniversary of the nativity of your life? A happy birthday is a lot easier, but we really only have one birthday, and the rest are just anniversaries of the event. I remember visiting some friends of ours who had given birth that day, and early in the day, and this was later in the evening, and the baby was being held by his mom. And I looked down, and this was an impulse. I just looked down and face to face and went, happy birthday. And the mom said, you know, no one has said that yet. You only get one. And yet, St. Peter says, we are born anew to a living hope in the midst of our lives, maybe. Now, this is one of a couple of different texts in the New Testament that are often pointed toward when people have some kind of dramatic conversion experience. I've been born again and my life belongs to Jesus and all of that. And it is a very powerful and their testimonies are inspiring and so forth. But we sometimes tend to leave it at that. You know, if that's not my deal, what's the point of that text? The point of that text is I think all of us have not a lot, but a few, a dozen maybe or less, what I would call rebirth days in our lives. For various reasons, some including great joy, some including great sorrow. But on these rebirth days, they are the days before which everything was different than the days after. Pivotal moments in our lives. I mean, the obvious is the birth of every one of your children. I sometimes tell my freshmen in the context of talking about family that, especially if you're the firstborn, that the moment you landed, every single decision your parents made was filtered through your needs. And that was different than the moments before. Kind of a rebirth day for them on the child's birthday. So also, if you're the last one out, and you know, I have lots of students that are the youngest in their families who have just left and gone to college. That's another kind of rebirth day for parents, you know. And as joyful as it can be and as proud as they might feel, there's a sense of loss in that they can now make decisions that maybe must not account for the needs of the one who's left. So, you know, weddings and promotions and job acquisition, as well as job loss or death, or as in the case may be this week, a diagnosis, a rebirth day. Before and after, everything is different. So the question is, how do we apply Peter's assertion that when we are born anew, we live with hope, born anew to a living hope? How do we keep hope alive in the aftermath of a rebirth day? As you might imagine, I've been thinking a lot about that this week. And my insights revolve around the rather stark reality to me is that what I've come up with are things I'd rather not do. These are things that go against a lot of my socialization and maybe even some instincts. I think one of the ways we keep hope alive after a rebirth day is to stay the course, to keep doing the little things that characterize your life. Next Sunday's the Super Bowl. They will interview, I'm sure, both head coaches and others. And the question always is, well, coach, what are you going to do for this game? And the answer is almost always, we're going to do more of what got us here. Now, all of our lives are characterized by the occasional rebirth day, but by the more common, ordinary, day-by-day way we just be who we are. I mean, as silly as it might sound, we get up on the right side of the bed or the left, and we put our slippers on, left foot, right foot, or however it is that we do that. We keep hope alive in the aftermath of a rebirth day by doing exactly that. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. If Saturdays are donut days, get donuts. In other words, hold on to the steadying power of the tiny little rituals that keep you going, and that keep you going together. You know, however it is that you encounter someone that you love deeply and that you live with, the first thing in the morning or last thing at night, keep doing that. And without belaboring it, stay the course with the small stuff. Keep doing what got you there. Stay the course also with the big stuff. There is great temptation, and I will tell you this from deep experience just this week. There's a great temptation to crash another apple cart into the apple cart that just got tipped over. In other words, almost like lighting a backfire so that you can at least control the impact of something when something has hit you. A close friend of mine had a similar week a couple of months ago and immediately decided to retire. Now, I get that. And it makes more sense for him than it does for me. But there is a risk of creating more drama than it solves. So my instinct may be otherwise in some ways, but I think we keep hope alive in the aftermath of a rebirth day by not making major changes for a while. Continue to stay the course, even with the big stuff. Now, secondly, I don't think that means make no changes at all. I read something that I've been keeping on my phone from time to time, and it makes a lot of made a lot of sense when I found it, and it makes even more sense, I think, today. It's a little essay that goes something like this. It's going to take me a second to find it, as it turns out. Here it is. There comes a time in your life, maybe a rebirth day, there comes a time in your life when you walk away from all the drama and the people who create it. You surround yourself with people who make you laugh. Life is too short to be anything but happy. Falling down is a part of life. Getting back up is living. I think the second thing we might consider doing in the aftermath of a rebirth day, for better or worse, is to ditch a little drama. Ditch a little drama. The metaphor I want to use for this is my dresser at home. It's 7 or 8 years old, and it's got 8 drawers that in that 7 or 8 years have been reduced to only 2 that contain stuff I use for dressing. God knows what all the other crap is in there. Things that are I pick up from somewhere and say, what am I going to do? I'll put it in the dresser. And then suddenly there's nothing but detritus in the dresser. Well, I have made a vow to clean out my dresser sometime in the next month or two. But I think that's a metaphor for what I think helps keep hope alive, and that is to ditch some of the detritus. And the most important thing I think we can ditch with respect to drama are grievances and grudges. It just isn't worth it to keep plotting revenge against so-and-so. It just isn't worth it anymore. Sometimes rebirth days put things into perspective. I had planned on doing this anyway, but it turns out that 1 week from today is my last day of any authority in my condo association. 13 years of being on the board, 8 years of being the president, way more drama than I wanted, especially the last 6 months. I'm done. That helps. But here's the larger point. Keeping hope alive involves drawing a perspective that enables us to ditch a little drama. Stay the course in the little stuff and the big stuff. Metaphorically clean out a dresser drawer of some type. And thirdly, keep hope alive. When someone reaches out a hand, take it. We want to be more independent than we are. We want to be more independent than we were even designed to be. And in some way, it's even unfaithful to put someone off when they have what you need and are willing to share. We have been deeply touched by all of the expressions of love, but more than that even, by the absolute certainty that throughout the week, hands have reached to their own hands in prayer. And you can feel the aura of that. And if you stop and think about it, you can imagine and imagine that it's probably true that at this moment someone is at least thinking about you. That's how you keep hope alive. There have also been four very specific hands that have reached to Jeannie that she has grabbed that I would call angels unawares. Now, these are real people, these aren't angels, and they don't even know how angelic they were. But at least four times already, there has been a very specific and direct touch that mattered. And we expect that will continue to happen. All of you that have had rebirthdays, and that does include everybody in this room, will know the healing power and the stunning blessing that that is. Stay the course. Ditch some drama. And when somebody extends a hand, take it and know that they are extending hands that keep us all together as a family. Pete Seeger wrote a kid's song a while back. It's called The Garden Song, which isn't very creative. But its lyrics, I just more or less came to me this week. And when things more or less come to me, I think that maybe there's a reason. Out of nowhere, I heard in my head, inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain come tumbling down. I don't know how many days any of us will or have to live. I know how many days I have lived. I just had a birthday, an anniversary of my nativity, excuse me. I know that the rest of my days are a finite number. I just don't know what it is. But in the meantime, I will try to, and I enjoin you to join me in keeping hope alive, inch by inch, row by row, until we know we are born anew to a living, infinite hope, which never leaves us and sustains us day by day. Inch by inch, row by row, keep hope alive.